I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need!
I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Welcome into the Great Debate Show, everybody, where we do a quick debate between two players, a debate-style argument between two guys on the waiver wire. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me is special guest Pat Fitzmaurice. You can find him on Twitter at Fitz_FF. He's the host of the Fitz on Fantasy podcast and a contributor to thefootballgirl.com. Pat, welcome back to the Great Debate.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me back, man. It's been a while since we've done one of these, so looking forward to getting into it with you.
Do you remember who we did?
I can't remember. I was trying to think about that, and I could not. It was like, what, 2-3 years ago? And I can't remember who we were going over.
It's been a couple years. You know what? I just Googled it. It was Alvin Kamara versus Melvin Gordon.
Oh, man, I must have had Melvin, right?
You know what? I have a hard time believing I didn't have Melvin.
Really? I don't know, man. I'm a Wisconsin guy, so hard to believe that I would go against.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. A couple years for sure. How you been?
Pretty good, man. Busy, and hard to believe we're into, almost done with week three already.
I know.
Going from feeling like, unsure that we were going to have a season, what it was going to look like, and, so far, so good, man. I mean, a lot of injuries, but other than that, it's been pretty terrific to have football back.
Yeah, that's been a nightmare for sure. It is good to have it back. And you know what? We're recording this during halftime of the Monday night game. So it's good to watch the playoff game that we deserved last year. We didn't deserve Titans versus Chiefs. We deserved to see Ravens versus Chiefs.
I know, man. It is. We should have gotten that, and this is probably just going to be the palate teaser for the inevitable playoff matchup between these two teams. But
for sure.
Yeah, it is nice to see them go at it.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, here's how the show goes. We each have a player that we are arguing for. We get 2 minutes to argue for our player, 90 seconds for a rebuttal against the other person's player. And then we finish it up with final thoughts, and that's the show. And this week, we are debating rookie wide receivers who shined in week three, Justin Jefferson and T. Higgins. I have Jefferson, and Pat, you claimed Higgins pretty quickly, I might add.
Did, man. I'm
yes, you did. And I'm going to kick us off here and just go ahead and start the clock whenever you're ready. And then once my 2 minutes is up, just say time, or as Jake Seeley last week said, hey, shut up.
Sounds like Jake.
It does. Yeah, it was perfect. It was perfect. Right. So for Justin Jefferson, man, I have been waiting for a chance to talk about this guy. We're talking about the rookie from LSU who led the NCAA in receptions last year, had the fourth most yards from scrimmage in the SEC, and the third most touchdowns from scrimmage in the SEC. I mean, I'm talking about a wide receiver who was drafted in the first round to a team who desperately needed a second wide receiver across from Adam Thielen after the departure of Stephon Diggs. Jefferson is 6'1". He ran a 4.43 40-yard dash at the combine this year. He's a mismatch for almost any defensive back. His speed, leaping ability, and control in the air makes him hard to cover. He comped very well to Marvin Jones in his scouting report, and we've all seen the huge games that Marvin Jones can put up. Well, this past week, what a showing for Justin Jefferson. 7 catches on 9 targets for 175 yards and a touchdown. And that touchdown was a 71-yard bomb from Kirk Cousins, where he had plenty of separation and then a great juke on a different defensive back, to then just sort of tippy-toe dance his way into the end zone. And, even if you take away that 71-yard touchdown, which isn't going to happen each week, of course. He still had 6 catches for 104 yards, which is a great game. He showed on Sunday that he's not just a second read for Kirk Cousins either. Sure, Cousins looks Thielen's way more often than not. That's no secret. It's been that way for years. However, there were plenty of plays that were designed to go to Justin Jefferson. They're drawing up screens for him because they know he can shake defenders and outrun linebackers. He did that on a short pass that he turned into a 33-yard reception. He had a deep 31-yard catch as well, and of course, the huge 71-yard touchdown. This guy is 100% the number 2 on the offense behind Thielen. In fact, there are several teams where he might be the wide receiver 1 already. He is that talented. And I think we're looking at this year's rookie wide receiver breakout.
Time.
All right.
You timed that well.
I was watching the clock. I just, you know what? I'll just stop myself under this sentence. All right. Let's go ahead and get into your rebuttal to Justin Jefferson. 90 seconds. Take it away, Pat.
All right. So, you know, looking at this, and I can't badmouth Jefferson. They're both going to be really popular waiver wire pickups, I think. But I think the argument point that I can make is for the price point this week. I think people are going to blow a lot of fab on Jefferson coming off the really splashy big yardage game. Whereas Higgins, you know, 2 short touchdowns, I think people might see it as kind of a fluky thing. But basically, the two of them played the same percentage of snaps, like right around 80% this week. And both of them, I believe, have had the exact same number of targets on the season, 15. So both of them with the increasing usage. I think the attractive thing about Higgins is just part of it is that A.J. Green looks really cooked this year. I mean, A.J. Green has a catch rate under 50%. It's like 46%, I believe. 8.9 yards a catch, a mere 4.1 yards per target for A.J. Green, which is horrible. He is wearing defenders like a blanket this year. And so, you know, we saw the Bengals deactivate John Ross. I think that was the sign that they are ready to let Higgins go in his rookie year. And this is a guy who had a 12 touchdown breakout as a 19-year-old sophomore at Clemson. So, I mean, this guy is ready to go.
So is that your argument for Higgins or against Jefferson?
So it's mainly for Higgins. Yeah. Do I get the, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. That was a very pro Higgins rebuttal against Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, there's no. So, do I have time to add?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, you had about 20 seconds left.
Okay, so the main thing is, the Bengals have thrown 141 passes. That's second in the league right now. The Vikings have thrown 78 passes. That's second least in the league right now. And Burrow has looked terrific. I mean, Higgins is getting those targets from Joe Burrow. Jefferson is going to be getting targets from Kirk Cousins, which I think are going to be worth less than Cousins from Joe Burrow this season. So a real pass-heavy offense. You know, and granted, like you could say that Higgins is the number 3 guy, although I'm not so sure he's number 2 behind Tyler Boyd.
Right.
But, you know, that versus the more conservative attack and, you know, just less capable overall passing game of the Vikings.
Well, if that was your arguments against Justin Jefferson, I'm excited to hear your arguments in favor of T. Higgins.
Yeah, I mean, as I just mentioned, the 12 TD breakout as a 19-year-old sophomore at Clemson.
That's great.
You know, yeah, and just the fact that they were so quick to promote this guy, looked like it was going to be a slow start. They were going to give John Ross a chance, and they shut that down pretty quickly. I mean, T. Higgins' snap count, I think, went up to, you know, from next to nothing in week 1 to like 65%, I think, in week 2, and then 80% in week 3. So they went into the unveiling of T. Higgins with great haste. I think that's a positive sign. And just, you know, this age cliff that A.J. Green seems to have tumbled over opens up a lot of opportunity in what's, you know, really a promising kind of wide open offense with Zach Taylor, you know, as opposed to this kind of stodgy offense that the Vikings are running. And, you know, I worry that that's going to cut into Jefferson's ceiling a little bit.
Yeah, so let me get into my rebuttal against Higgins here. So I'll admit this guy has played his way into the clear wide receiver 3 spot, and so much so that they basically said, hey, Mr. Ross, you're a healthy scratch. You know, we don't need you anymore. but he does have some things working against him. So he is the wide receiver three for a team that was absolutely atrocious last year. And as a rookie quarterback, I love Joe Burrow. He's probably my most owned quarterback in all my fantasy teams, but he's still prone to rookie mistakes. AJ Green, I would still argue they're definitely the one and two on the Bengals. I'm not sure which one is the one. It's probably Tyler Boyd at this point, but they're still way above T. Higgins on the depth chart over a rookie in his third game. He did have a great game, but will he be a guy who can win you weeks, though? He doesn't seem like he has that big boom potential. He barely cleared a 4.6 40 at his pro day. He's only got a 31-inch vertical. He's not the guy who's going to outrun cornerbacks or win a lot of jump balls. You're going to get games like we did on Sunday, 5 catches for 40 yards, and you're going to got to hope for those touchdowns. You're going to have to rely on him getting into the end zone to be happy with his performance. The big plays and chunk yardage isn't really something that's his strong suit.
I don't know, my man. 18.1 yards per catch in college. Like, I think he's capable of making those big plays and double-digit touchdowns both his junior and sophomore year. So I do think he's got that big play potential. You know, I do think he's got a quarterback who's a little more willing to stretch the field than Jefferson does, you know, Burrow versus Cousins. So,
agreed.
Yeah, but like, it's hard for me to argue against Justin Jefferson. You know, that guy was just terrific. What he did his last year at LSU was just sensational. But, you know, he doesn't have Burrow anymore, Chris, and my guy T. Higgins does. So I think that counts for a lot.
Very true. Well, let me take it back to Justin Jefferson here, wrap up. So as I said, I think we're looking at this year's rookie wide receiver breakout. I think Justin Jefferson can be 2020's Terry McLaurin. You know, obviously don't expect 175 yards every game, but I would be shocked if he doesn't average 80 yards per game by the end of the season. The Vikings know what they have in him, and so does Cousins, who only had 2 incompletions when he targeted Jefferson this past week, and one of those was an interception that wasn't really Justin Jefferson's fault. He's caught 12 of 15 targets, including every deep ball. So why would Cousins not want to keep throwing it to him? I get that they're, you know, more a running team, but why would he not want to keep throwing it to someone who is as good so far as Adam Thielen? Why would the coaching staff not want to keep him involved in the game plan? The answer is simple. They do want him in the game plan. They want him in there. They want him getting targets. They're 0-3 and their defense just looks bad. I think they're going to have to continue to throw the ball, and Justin Jefferson's going to reap the rewards of that.
Good point. So I would just urge everyone, if you are looking for a nice $2 to $3 stash on waivers this week, not even a stash really, because I do think he is someone you could play right away. Invest in this offense. This is a rapidly developing offense with Joe Burrow, who is maturing very fast. Zach Taylor, you know, this is a pass heavy, fun offense, and you can get a piece of it right now with T. Higgins cheaply, and you know, it can pay off. I started T. Higgins, believe it or not, Chris, in the Scott Fishbowl this week.
What?
And, it paid off handsomely. Got some injuries, man.
Wow.
You had to do it. And I had picked him up for just a couple of bucks the previous week on waivers. He went undrafted in the Scott Fishbowl, which is saying a lot, because that's what, a 22 round
I think so. Yeah.
Draft. And yeah, so like, I think he is a very nice waiver claim for this week.
100%. I have him on the taxi squad in one of my dynasty leagues, and I think I'm going to have to promote him. So
nice.
As of right now, guys, Justin Jefferson is 31% owned and T. Higgins is 5% owned. So he's definitely more available than Jefferson, but both guys well under 50% owned. So they're likely available. Who do you think is going to cost more? It's Jefferson, right?
Oh, it's definitely Jefferson after the game he had. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot more. Like, I think Jefferson's probably a guy you might have to drop at least, like, I don't know, 8 to 10% on. And I think Higgins you can maybe get with something real close to a minimum bid, like $2 or $3.
Okay. Who would you say, if you had to play someone next week, which guy would you pick up?
Oh, man, let's see. It would probably be Jefferson because of the matchup against the Texans. I mean, the Texans' defense has just been a train wreck so far. So.
And then season long would be Higgins.
Although, yeah, actually, I take that back. No, I think I'm going to have Jefferson ranked a little higher. Not a bad matchup for Higgins against Jacksonville either. But, yeah, season long, I mean, it's really close. Like, I'm, you know, to try to argue against Jefferson is kind of futile for me. But I do think that the volume of the Bengals offense maybe makes Higgins like a slightly better bet for season long.
All right. Well, guys, that is going to wrap it up for this week's great debate. Pat, thanks for joining me again, man. This was fun. Why don't you tell the people listening where they can follow you and support you?
Well, Chris, thanks for having me. Always great to be on with you. And yeah, people can find me on Twitter at Fitz_FF. I host a weekly podcast called Fitz on Fantasy. That's pretty easy to find. And my weekly and preseason rankings are always at thefootballgirl.com.
And you can follow the Sleepwire Show on Twitter at Sleepwire Show. I'm on there at prof_ChrisSW. And you can also get a hold of me on the Sleeper app at Professor Chris. Pat, thanks again for joining me. Everybody else, thanks for tuning in. We will catch you next time.